Baseball is back.
I want to see some real games.
The season is going to be different.
They've been given a gift with this 60-game schedule.
On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands, there's a lot to talk about.
There's a stunning development.
And this is the place to do
it. Tony, you know, he talks, I listen.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big Y, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wine, Gravely, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
He's hacking, and that one driven center field way back there off the green. In to score is Nimmo, and Alonso right behind him, and that makes it 8-2.
Same old, same old. Red Sox show up, they give up a bunch of runs early, they get the crap kicked out of them, they lose again. Same old, same old. So incredibly, just listening to the show open there, and Matt McCarthy's with us here on the Baseball Reporters tonight. Matt, just listening to that show open, right? Say the Red Sox have been given a gift, right? This 60-game schedule, they've been given a gift because they have a chance now to contend or compete in a season where they otherwise wouldn't have really had much of a chance. Over 162, the Red Sox weren't going to make a lot of noise. Maybe they had a shot at making the postseason if everybody's healthy. But that went out the window a long time ago. 60-game schedule, though, a lot of bad teams. Anything's possible. They start out 1-4. And so I'm going to tell you this. This is where I've reached already. Five games in, this is where I have reached already with the Red Sox. It is time for the Red Sox to decide what they want this season to be. Okay, it's time. So I understand we're in the midst of a pandemic. I understand that they've had injuries and certainly players fall victim to COVID-19. I understand all of that. The product that you have seen on the field, has that been good enough? Has that been good enough? If you are a fan of the team or you're a fan of baseball, has that been good enough? You tell me. And we're going to get to some other stuff through the course of the show tonight, too. Joe Kelly starting a brawl, or let me rephrase, it wasn't a brawl, but starting an incident with the Astros in Houston. Kelly, now a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers. We'll get to that in the next segment. He was suspended today by Major League Baseball for 8 games, Kelly was. Some lineup decisions, some things Ron Renicki said before the game tonight against the Mets that we will touch on. That, again, are sending me into orbit because, frankly, I think the Red Sox are making excuses. And so here's the point. Whether we like it or not, whether you believe in it or not, whether you think there's an asterisk or not, there is a baseball season being played. Fact. And the Miami Marlins have tried to undermine the whole thing, it feels like. Nonetheless, the season goes on. There are still games, and there is a season being played. So the question then becomes, what are they giving you? I keep coming back to this with baseball. What are they giving you? And when you watch the Red Sox play every night now, and they send one no-name out to the mound after the other, and he does the same thing as the guy the night before, which is give up multiple runs in the first or second inning, and they're down 3-0 before you can even put your ass on the sofa. And then they don't exactly seem to show a ton of life getting the back in the game, or they make a base running mistake, or they say things that drive you absolutely bananas because you just think it's disingenuous. What are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to say, well, it's a pandemic, we just write it off? Or are you supposed to say, no, wait a minute, that's not the deal. The deal was we were going to try to play. And now they're playing. So now that they're on the field playing, don't they owe you an effort? An effort. I don't care whether they make the playoffs or not. Right now. I don't care whether they go 20-40, 10-50, 35-25. I'd like to see the last one. At the moment, what I would like to see is a representative major league product. Or something close to it. And what I don't want to hear anymore is bullcrap excuses, whether it's coming from the executive suite or from the virtual clubhouse. Either way. So I'll tell you what, that's where we're going to start. Let me start with this. And Jimmy, let's go with Chaim Bloom first. Okay, this is Chaim Bloom talking about the depth of the Red Sox pitching staff and the challenge they have faced in the early part of this season where, frankly, they're getting their nuts ripped off on a nightly basis. OK, Okay, here's Bloom on last night's pregame show with Tom Caron on Nesson.
Yeah, I mean, certainly this is not the start that you want, either in terms of the record or in terms of how we prevented runs these last three games. We knew that, you know, especially coming into this past winter, that we needed to augment our depth, and we did that.
Stop.
And then, of course,
we did that. We augmented our depth. We did that.
Such a lie.
How? How did they augment the depth on the pitching staff? Martin Perez? Who else is new? Who's new on that staff?
Oh, there are plenty of new guys.
No, but I mean, that's any good.
Oh, none of them. Absolutely none of them.
I'm not even sure Martin Perez is good. That one was $6.25 million. He was the big one.
Oh, no. Martin Perez is abject ass mess. He's awful.
Okay. They haven't augmented the depth on the staff. They haven't. Which, by the way, I don't hold Bloom entirely accountable for. But the fact that he said, which we did, no, they didn't. Not really. There's not depth in this pitching staff. The rotation blows. With or without Eduardo Rodriguez, it blows.
You don't even have more than three starters. So you can't talk about depth when you literally can't even line out your starting rotation.
But he went on and said more things I disagree with. Go ahead, Jimmy.
And we did that. And then, of course, we got hit pretty hard between, you know, what happened to Chris and then obviously losing a number of guys to the virus.
We got hit pretty hard with what happened to Chris and losing a number of guys to the virus. The virus, I'll give you, Eduardo Rodriguez, significant loss in the early part of this year. No two ways about it. No two ways about it. Josh Taylor and Darwin's and Hernandez, those are the guys that were going to save your season. And I know Hernandez has a good arm. I'm not telling you I don't like him. There's some stuff about him I like. But those were the guys that were going to save your season. More importantly, what happened to Chris? The Reds, we all knew last November that Chris Sale probably wasn't going to pitch this year. Hell, we knew in August that Chris Sale was probably headed for Tommy John. For whatever reason, the Red Sox put it off. Sale was going to miss this year regardless. Now he's going to miss part of next year, if not all of it, assuming there is a next year. Because after all, it is the apocalypse. But you get the idea. What happened to Chris? Like, that was luck? No, that was a known thing going into the year. The Chris Sale thing was known. And Hernandez and Taylor, it is Taylor, right, McCarthy?
Josh Taylor, yes. Their third best left-handed pitcher, might I add.
I mean, I just honestly, I can't keep all the no-name guys straight. Like, those are the guys you're relying on to salvage your season? Keep going, Jimmy.
And then, obviously, losing a number of guys to the virus. So we knew we were going to be going through some guys here. We're optimistic that, you know, some of these guys are going to separate themselves and show that they can contribute here. And we're going to keep looking at some of them going forward. There's a lot of things that they bring to the table. We just need to see them be able to bring that into games at the big league level.
Okay, optimistic. Optimistic. Some guys are going to separate themselves. When? I mean, I'm not trying to be a dick about it. But you're playing 60 games. You've played five? Is it five? And they're 1-4?
That's correct.
And tonight you face Jacob DeGrom, who might be one of the two or three best right-handers in baseball, with Nathan Eovaldi on the mound, and whom is your one representative big league pitcher, even if he is mediocre at the end of the day, and no Xander Bogaerts in the lineup. That's right. You heard me. That's right. They're playing Jacob DeGrom with no Xander Bogaerts in the lineup.
Tanking.
I want to get to someone else who said something that pissed me off. But first, John in the car. John, go ahead. Johnny, there?
Hey, Matt. Yeah. Sorry, I was taking off speakerphone. So I got a question for you because I'm going a little nuts and I'm into the Sox. I don't know why, but I just am. And I, for my own curiosity, look something up because it feels like the Sox either win the World Series or suck. And, you know, I'm about to be 30 years old, about to take the leap. And when I was a kid, it's like, okay, they're in the hunt. They can't get over the hump, all of this. Now it's like all or nothing. And I'm just kind of curious, from an ownership standpoint, why do you think they have just completely failed to sustain a competitive team? I'm not saying they don't win it, and that's great, but I've heard you say it before, like, you don't like the all or nothing. You want competitive teams, and I'm with you. Like, it's like a waste of my time. They're really gonna win, because right now it's like they're going to suck this year. All right, well, they'll probably win the World Series in a couple of years. And I know it's an unrealistic way to think. But again, I'm going bananas. And I need to know why.
Okay, so, John, look, the up-and-down nature of it, to me, I think the where you come back there is you come back on ownership. And when you come back on ownership, you say, well, how many times are you going to change GMs in, like, a seven-year period? You went from Theo to Cherington, Who was after Charrington?
Dave Dombrowski.
Dombrowski, correct. Jeez, I can't
But they wanted to keep Charrington to work for Dave Dombrowski.
So, but again, what you have there is when you're going from one GM to the next, you're constantly changing philosophies. So losing Theo was the big mistake. Okay, but again, let's not, you know, that was 8 years ago at this stage. So, like, how many times are we going to live that one over 9 years ago? So, fine. But then they went with Charrington. They didn't like what that was doing. So then they decided to go back to a veteran guy who's going to spend a lot of money, and they went that route. And the philosophy's changed. It's just been too schizophrenic. Now, last year was not a last-place finish, and I wouldn't necessarily put that team in the, you know, tank kind of category. But I also think that they put themselves in a position with the way they managed it under Dombrowski to then all of a sudden have no farm system. So now they have long-term issues. So, you know, it just feels to me like they can't stick to a plan. They can't stick to a plan. Now, this year is something totally different, and this is the way I began the show. If they play competitive baseball, entertaining competitive baseball right now, is it okay with you? Because I look at it and say, at the end of the day, of course I want the winning. Yes. But it's a freaking pandemic. I'll take whatever you can give me if it's a representative product. They can't even do that. More importantly, they're making excuses. So the GM is talking about things like, well, you know, with what happened to Chris. What happened to Chris? And we filled the depth problem during the offseason. No, you didn't. I didn't expect you to do much, but don't tell me you did. And then there's Kevin Pillar, who after the game last night was asked about the plight of the team and said this.
You know, I'd be lying to you if I said that, you know, it's not different. I think players that get an opportunity to call this home, even me as a player that came here so often as a visiting player, you're just so accustomed to the unique atmosphere that this stadium brings, the fans, the energy in this ballpark. And it's taken some guys a little bit of time to adjust to that. You know, I think getting out on the road might be good for this team.
Okay, so when Pillar says that, now look, I don't know what the nature of the question was. He probably didn't mean it as an excuse, but getting on the road is going to be good for this team. Why, are they going to have fans in New York tonight? Or Yankee Stadium over the weekend? Like, the way he said it suggested to me that, you know, getting out of here will be good, and you know, we'll be able to, because we haven't had the atmosphere we've had here in past years, even though he's just joined the Red Sox. And I would tell you, you're not getting that anywhere, pal. No, this is about manufacturing the desire to compete. Manufacturing the professionalism. This is where you dig deep. I said we were going to learn about the Red Sox this year, about which guys were the true pros and which guys weren't. And thus far, I have been wholly unimpressed, as have you. What a disaster. What a disaster. The losses are one thing. The complete and utter ineptitude, the crap show that is a nightly basis, I mean, that's a joke. That's not even a representative product. At times, it looks like they're not even trying. And again, I know baseball can look that way. I got a lecture about that once from a manager. Hell, I don't need to tell you. I mean, I don't need to hide the name. Terry Francona once said to me, when a team goes bad, it can look like they don't try. And he's right. You know, the game can grind you down. We're five games in. They already look like they want the plug pulled. What a freaking disaster. Do they want to play or not? Because the last time I checked, again, there is a season. There's a season, so you might as well play it. And you might as well try to play it well. I don't see anybody there, really, I shouldn't say anybody, but few cases. They feel rudderless to me. There's nobody there steering the ship. And they need someone to kick him in the ass right now, and they don't have that. Unlike, for example, the Los Angeles Dodgers, who went to Houston in the middle of a pandemic and had a guy on the mound that started a bench-clearing incident, and he wasn't even involved in the World Series when the Astros cheated their way to a title over the Dodgers. The Joe Kelly incident, verdict came down today from Major League Baseball on a suspension. We'll give you that news, and we'll play you some of the audio from that incident last night in Houston in the event you missed it. We'll do that when we come back.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mattis on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is a show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mattis on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, my. Okay. Oh, my. 3-0 pitch sails over the head of Alex Bregman.
There might have been a little intent behind that one.
Alex didn't like it. Swing and a miss. Kelly able to get Correa and strand two runners on base. And a little talking in between innings between Joe Kelly and the Astros dugout. And Astros players starting to congregate near the Dodgers dugout. And here come the Astros out of their dugout. This all had to do with that 3-0 pitch to Bregman. And Correa is being held back. Josh Reddick was the first one to start talking to Joe Kelly, I believe, on his way off the mound. Correa wasn't thrilled with his reaction to the strikeout, apparently, too. There's our first little situation here between the Astros and the Dodgers. Obviously, tension's a little high at the end of the sixth inning.
So that happened last night in Houston. I have to admit, I was actually happy to see it. I was. I'll tell you why. Because in a pandemic, you sort of say, do these guys really, are they into it? Are they going to half-ass it? How pissed off are these guys really? Dodgers going into Houston after all the fallout from the Houston cheating scandal, the words back and forth, the Dodgers saying that the Astros stole a championship from them, the Astros standing up for themselves, Carlos Correa making stupid comments in spring training, the whole nine yards, the whole thing. Now the Dodgers go to Houston in the early part of the year. Joe Kelly, who wasn't even on the Dodgers when they lost to the Astros in the World Series, he was part of the 2018 Red Sox team that beat the Dodgers the following year. He throws a ball over the head of Alex Bregman. Everybody gets pissed off. And the best thing that happened, which really triggered the whole thing, happened at the end of the inning. After a couple of smaller brush fires, Kelly thought that his leg got clipped while he was covering first base on a, you know, on a grounder to the right side. And then Carlos Correa struck out on what was a lame-ass swing, probably because he thought he was going to take one in the ribs. And they start mouthing at each other on the way off the field. And by the way, well, I'll get to Kelly's pitch to Bregman, which sailed over his head. That's weak. Okay, weak sauce. Just drill the guy. Hit him in the ribs. Hit him in the ass. Hit him wherever you want. Don't throw it up at his head, especially when you throw 100 miles an hour. That's the oldest rule in baseball. And so when I say it, you know, don't do it, I just mean you know what it's going to lead to if you go up there and you lose the respect of everybody involved. But you want to drill the guy, you'll be a hero. So, like, to me, you know, the thing about throwing to the head gets overplayed, but I don't want to get into that part of it tonight.
I don't think Joe Kelly has that type of command to throw the ball where he wants.
He doesn't, but even so, he could drill a guy in the hip as easily as anybody. He could. And so Kelly ended up getting 8 games, and if you have thoughts on the suspension, you think that's too harsh, that's fine too. It's the equivalent of a 22-game suspension in a full season. So it's a big suspension. But the best thing that happened happened at the end. And Dusty Baker addressed it. He's now the manager of the Astros in his post-game press conference. I just want to play this for you because it's great. It is. It's great. Baker's a little hard to hear. The audio isn't great. Again, it's a Zoom call. But just deal with it. Here's Dusty Baker after the game.
3-0 fastball over a guy's head. Now you're certain his ending his career. Then a couple other guys' balls were close. And then, you know, what really enraged everybody is when, you know, he told Carlos, I mean, he struck him out. And he told him, nice swing, bitch. And see, what are you supposed to do then? And then what upset me is that the umpires warned us. You know, why don't you warn him? You know, he's the one throwing the ball, and the, you know, he's the one that started this mess in the first place.
The line by Joe Kelly, who is clearly a little crazy. Crazy,
little.
Crazy Joe DiVola on the mound for the Los Angeles Dodgers, now known as Joe Kelly. He said to Carlos Correa when he struck him out, first of all, he made this face like, nice swing, bitch. So the dugout's emptied, whatever. There was no fight. You get the idea, but Kelly got 8 games today.
I'm going to apply that, to put that in every part of my life. Golf course, nice swing, bitch. Like if Maz, if you have a lukewarm take, I'd be like, hey, Maz, nice take, bitch.
Nice swing, bitch.
Good segment there.
That is dynamite. Now that I like. I feel like Joe Kelly showed me more last night than the Red Sox have showed me in 4 games, the last 4 games. That's what I feel like. Let's go back to your calls. I want to get to some stuff that Ron Renicki said before the game tonight. We'll do that in the next segment, hopefully. but I do want to get to your phone calls. Bob is in Methuen. Go ahead, Bob.
Tony, I have to admit, I was stunned when you said earlier that the Sox miss Alex Cora. Alex Cora created an attitude and a culture around that team last year that still permeates the team. At no point in time last year did he show any type of fight and anger. Remember, this is the same guy after the Red Sox got their asses handed to him in London during the press conference is smirking and laughing about Carlos Beltran being their best acquisition for the Yankees. And then in September 2nd or 3rd, said the team had an 8% chance of making the playoffs. You tell me that guy has fight? That guy is still responsible for what's going on in the field right now. That team showed up against bad teams last year. There were 17 games under 500 against teams with winning records.
How about the year before, Bob?
Year before? Yeah. Front running fraud, Tony.
Okay. So, it's okay.
He's a front runner fraud.
Okay, I get it. You don't like Cora. I'll take him over this. And I don't even mean the Renicky part. I have a hard time going off on Renicky. He got thrown into the middle of this thing. Cora last year got a little too comfortable, a little too cocky. Okay? And he wasn't willing to acknowledge there was a problem until it was a little too late. But if you remember, right around June, he started to get a little more intense again. So he did. He got a little too cocky, a little too sure of himself, and it cost him. I'd like to think he learned from it. Who do you want managing the team next year? And I'm not jumping ahead to that already, but I'm telling you, you want Ron Renicky or Alex Cora? Because I'll take Cora every single time. McCarthy, how about you?
Absolutely, Alex Cora. And listen, I don't necessarily disagree with what the caller just said, but Cora's impact on this team is undeniable because his impact on the stars and the most important players on this team was undeniable. He got Rafi Devers to, you know, get in shape and get engaged. We see Rafi Devers this year isn't in shape, isn't engaged, is a butcher in the field, is terrible at the plate right now. Eddie Rodriguez, you know, another guy who, I think they have questioned his desire, his, you know, commitment, all of those things. Cora got him to have the best year of his career last year. Xander Bogaerts, he helped Xander Bogaerts fulfill his potential. So Cora's impact on the three most important guys on the team, three of the five, right at this point, right, Maz? Probably his impact on those guys was undeniable.
They've all been garbage here in the early part of the year. All those guys. The fact is the Red Sox aren't ready to go for the second year in a row. Bob and Methuen's right about that. Not ready to go. Pat's in Westwood. Good, Pat.
Hey, Tony. Calling about Benintendi. We're told every year that he's going to have a great year. A couple of years ago, they compared him to Yaz. I think present-day Yaz could go out there and strike out 50% of the time like him. So at what point do we trade him and get some reliable starting pitching here?
Okay, so the value is low right now. The value is low. You're not going to get much for him right now, not as much as you should. And I know what you're saying. We're told every year that Benintendi's about to turn the corner. Not by me or not. I've had my doubts about Benintendi from the beginning. I like the player at the beginning. I also question whether he could hit for power consistently, and we all know that makes all the difference. The home runs make all the difference. So lots of guys can hit 10 home runs and, you know, take walks and hit the ball to left field and, you know, get some doubles. And I'm okay with that, by the way. But if you're the number 7 pick in the draft, you got to give me more than that. And Benintendi's not giving me more than that now. He's back in the leadoff spot tonight. What I would do if I'm the Red Sox is hope that he plays well over these 60 games, the 55 that are left. The stock goes back up, and then trade his ass for some pitching because he and Verdugo are similar players in terms of output.
Absolutely, and they've got a couple, you know, prospects coming up through the system too. You know, Duran, they've got some hitters coming up through the system. You don't need Andrew Benintendi at this point because he is redundant to what you already have. You can find a left fielder who can hit you 260, which is what he did last year, Maz. I'm totally with you on this. Benintendi, 2 years left to go on his contract, maybe would have some value. You need pitching. Pitching, absolutely. Trade him.
There's only one reason to keep Benintendi on the roster, okay? And with Verdugo, he's still cheap. He's cheap. And they might have payroll problems again next year. So I'll tell you what, we'll worry about next year. At the moment, they are where they are. And I just don't like the vibe that's coming out of there because it does feel like the Red Sox are in tank mode, which I know is what Stanley and Lemonster wants to talk about. We'll get to him when we come back, as well as Ed and Quincy. And I want to play for you the comments coming out of Fenway Park from both Ron Renicky and Chaim Bloom over the last call it 24 hours, really, that to me have me worried. They have me worried about what the team's really trying to accomplish.
Now, more hot takes on a short season. It's the Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ron, no Bogarts today in the lineup. Is it from the bang on Monday when he hit the gravel? Or the
yes. Yes, a lot of it is because of that. So yesterday he played. We know he wasn't 100% yesterday. I know he told me he was good to go. But I think thinking about five more games before our off day, we thought today was a good day to do it, and then hopefully he'll play the next four and then have that day off.
Six games in, Xander Bogaerts is sitting for the second time. Second time. Do you remember last year on the program we had an intern named Cam? Jim, you remember Cam, right?
Wonderful intern.
Cam was the man.
Cam's had his freshman year at Colgate last year, okay? And, like most kids that age, he's scraping to find stuff to do. So he's been doing a little research for us here on the Baseball Reporters. He's not in the building with us, working out of it home. I sort of email or text with him daily now. And honestly, I've been kind of slacking. But I got to try to keep him busier than I have. But he looked it up today. How about this? Last year, you know how many games Xander Bogaerts failed to start out of 162? Jimmy, you already know the answer, right? So don't say it. McCarthy, do you know without looking?
I'm going to guess something like 7 or 8. I mean, it's not much.
8.
Wow.
He started 154 out of 162 games. This year, he's already missed 33% of the starts. He's already missed 2 out of 6. So that's Reneke talking about Bogaerts. I want to get to some of the other stuff they've said here, the Red Sox, and I'm including Chaim Bloom. And the last day, I just don't, it feels to me like they're not trying. I'm sorry. I know the pitching sucks. But they're feeding me excuses. Players are talking about playing in front of empty seats. That's a bad sign. Everybody's playing in front of empty seats, not just the Red Sox. Everybody. The product's got to be better than this. If they came back to give us this, just forfeit all the games and go home. Forfeit them and go home. Stanley's in Lemaster. Go ahead, Stanley.
Mass. I didn't pay attention in school at all. Is augment a pitching staff like Nolan Ryan stuck his arm in a vat of ice? What is that?
Augment is help the pitching staff, allegedly. That's what he said. Help. Augment.
Oh, excellent. Well, Bogaerts not helping his staff tonight. He's helping DeGrom, that's for sure. He's augmenting DeGrom. Here's my question for you, Mass, because you're such an insider. If they are tanking, it's got to be, you know, they're all in on it. But say it is happening. How does that go? Is it the 19-year-old general manager says, here's what you're going to do, and baseball ops says, yep, that's what you're going to do? Does ownership need approval? Does Nesson need approval? Because Nesson's going to lose viewers through this summer. How does this all work?
No, I don't think it's an orchestrated plan, Stanley. Okay, I don't think that's just sitting there going, okay, let's go out there and suck, guys. You just keep throwing meatballs. We'll get the number one pick, because then the players are going to look at it and go, seriously? You know, I have to get a prorated portion of my salary for this? No way. Now, in their defense, no player wants to go out there and get beaten like they're beaten. Now, this is a joke. They're down 3-0 in the second inning every night. Not to mention the fact that the guys they're sending out there are just one stiff after the next. And I recognize they're short on arms. What about the defensive mistakes? What about the mistakes on the bases? How do we feel about the way Rafael Devers looks in the early part of the year? And is anybody holding anybody accountable there, or are they just all saying, this sucks? We're in a pandemic. This sucks. I don't want to play. Let's just keep going and whatever. Fine, cash the checks, go home. That'll be the end of it. Because that's what it feels like their attitude is, and 1-4 certainly can push you in that direction in a 60-game season. So, again, the comment you heard to start was Reneke pregame talking about Bogaerts. Why does Bogaerts need a day off before he plays 4 in a row? So what, he's so banged up that he can't play? You're going to get an off day Monday? Now, he said Bogaerts wants to play. I believe him, I think, because I don't think Bogaerts is a quitter. But I don't see Bogaerts as engaged right now as I'd like to see him. Look, teams play well when they're most focused. And the Red Sox don't feel focused to me. I got a couple of other comments I want to play out of that organization. Because, again, I was going to say Clubhouse, but they're coming from Zoom or Chaim Bloom on Nesson. But A couple of other comments to me that just bugged me. Ed's in Quincy. Get ahead. Go ahead, Ed.
Hi. Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
My phone may cut off because it needs power pretty soon. So hopefully,
well, make it fast.
Say what I need to say. In comparison, last year's five-man rotation to this year, you had the $30 million man sale gone for a year and a half. Rodriguez probably gone for the rest of this season. Porcello, a free agent, went to Minnesota, the Mets. And then you had Price, who was traded. So what the hell? What were people expecting anyways from this pitching?
Okay, so Ed, I expected more than this. That's what I'll tell you. I expected more than this. And I expected more from the offense. The offense hasn't been good either. Outside of the first game, they've done jack. Benintendi runs, you know, makes a mistake on the bases last night, and it was a confusing play. How's Devers looked?
Awful.
How's Devers looked as the best left-handed hitter in your lineup? How's he looked?
Out of shape, disengaged, an embarrassment, really.
So I'll tell you what, it's a good time to play the Chaim Bloom comment on Rafael Devers. I think it was, again, Tom Caron did the interview. The Bloom interview didn't last very long, but he did talk about Rafael Devers and his play here early in the year. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Whatever rustiness we're seeing with Rafi is more a function of just this unusual season and not having that much time to ramp up. We know that's going to affect different guys differently. He has not come out of the gate looking like himself, really, on either side of the ball, and we know we're going to see that turnaround at some point. Hopefully it's soon.
It's a product of not being able to ramp up or the way it was ramped up? No, it's not. That's not it at all. No, he had 4 months to get ready. He was not ready to start the year. What was he doing in all that other time? What was he doing? Devers wasn't ready. He showed up not ready. So now look, did he expose himself to someone who had COVID-19 or did they have him at BC because it was the equivalent of the fat farm and they wanted him to get in shape? I don't know. I believe them when they say that it wasn't about being in shape. That's what they believe. He doesn't look like he's in shape to me. More importantly, he doesn't look like he gives a rat's ass. So again, Cora's not here, and all of a sudden this guy sucks. Cora's not here, and Bogaerts is sitting out. Cora's not here. Eduardo Rodriguez has COVID, and those are the guys that he impacted the most. So I just look, to me, I look at it and say, you know, no, that's not the reason why Devers isn't. It's not because of the ramp up. It's between his ears. It's in his chest. That's what the issue is with Devers. Okay, that's what the issue is. Renicki before the game on the pitching staff, and just so everyone's aware, Eovaldi pitches tonight. They play the Mets again tomorrow, then three with the Yankees. Then they have a day off. And Eovaldi will pitch the first game in Tampa against the Rays next week. The two games in New York that are clear right now, based on what is what the Red Sox have said anyway, at the moment, the Red Sox rotation for the next four games, for the Yankee series, it's three with New York. Ryan Weber's got the first one. The next two are unclear. It's Saturday is open.
It'll probably be Godley on Saturday.
Okay, Sunday is listed at the moment as Hall.
Hall, the left-handed pitcher against Stanton and Judge. How's that going to work out for you?
Okay, so I agree. It's likely going to be Zach Godley on Saturday based on what we saw the other night. So Renicki was asked this. This is an exchange with Sean McAdam. Again, that took place before tonight's game. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Do you have starters set for Saturday and Sunday against the Yankees?
We know what we would like to do. We haven't finalized it, but we know what we're planning to do. And today's game, hopefully it'll go well. And if it goes well, then we'll just stay right with that plan and I'll let you know what that is. But we just, you know, it's hard to make a call on something when you know your pitching's been beat up a little bit and you want to make sure that you've got it all covered well, and that's why we're waiting.
Yeah, it's hard to make a call on something when you know your pitching sucks. When you know your pitching sucks, that's what it is. It's hard to make a call on something.
It's hard to make a call when you don't have five starters.
What's the big secret here? What's the big secret? You blow. What's the big secret? Well, you don't want to tell the word that you're going to pitch Zach Godley over the weekend? Or is it that Hall's not going to pitch? And they haven't told him yet. Is that what it is? Like Matt Hall needs the courtesy now of being told ahead of time when he doesn't belong in the big leagues? That's what the issue is?
Could it be the fact that Reneke might need one of these pitchers before we get to the weekend so he can't announce it?
So he wants to pitch Godley tonight if they have a chance to win. Is that what it is?
Maybe.
How about just saying, well, you know what? Let's see how it goes. If we have a chance to win tonight, we might need that guy, and Godley's him. That's the guy. We might need Godley tonight. If he doesn't pitch tonight, we'll pitch him on Saturday. What's the secret? You suck. What secret? What secret do you need? You suck. This isn't you. You're not strategizing. You're not keeping any secrets from anybody. There's no advantage being given to the Yankees. You're not going to compete with the Yankees this year. Forget it. You blow. So stop with the games. Your team sucks. Ryan Weber's going to face the Yankees on Friday night and get his face ripped off. Think about that one. Ryan Weber throwing 85 miles an hour to Judge Stanton. Oh, that's a good one. And we might go with a bullpen game in New York. Really?
Actually, he's got a chance against Stanton because he didn't throw hard enough where Stanton can figure it out.
I'll tell you, I want to see the games against the TV ratings are dropping through the floor. I want to see the games against the Yankees, though, because those could be fun. I know I'm being a total jerk right now to those of you who are hardcore Red Sox fans. Oh, but they deserve it. The bull crap coming out of there right now is ridiculous. Kevin Pillar complaining about the fans. Well, there's no fans in the stands. Hard to get motivated. It'll do us good to get on the road and play before an empty stadium on the road. That's going to do you good. Where you got to face the Mets and the Yankees in their ballparks and those teams have a chance this year, you're going to get your ass kicked. Unless you decide to actually play better and focus and fight. Like, do you know the Red Sox, how many walks did they have last night? They walked like two times over the span of like three games or something. Two walks. Two. With the dog crap pitching that exists in the big leagues. Two walks. You know what that means? You're swinging at garbage. Jimmy's in Brockton. Jimmy, what do you got?
What's up? I'm with you, Maz. It's embarrassing, dude. It is so embarrassing. Like, you got to put out this product. It's embarrassing. Who, you know, what do we got? Ovaldi. That's it. Like, get somebody up there. You know what? I'll come from Brockton and pitch.
Okay. So, Jimmy, that's
what we got to do.
Yeah. So that's the thing to me. Again, it's not the losing per se. They're just not, they don't even look like anything close to a big league product at the moment.